What's up, guys? All right, so I got another one for you today. I'm gonna do a breakdown of this Four Nations face-off. I'm very excited about this tournament. I love international hockey. I love best on best and any best on best international tournament. It's hard not to enjoy. And in hockey, we just haven't really had one in a long time. It's been 9 years, well, 8.5 years, I guess, since that World Cup of Hockey back in 2016. Even that was kind of a little bit weird. This isn't really, you know, a truly best on best, I guess you could say, because it's only four teams. But at least we're getting the best of each country that's involved in it. That World Cup of Hockey had a weird situation where they had, you know, your six standard teams, and then they had a Team Europe, which was sort of like a hodgepodge of other countries, other players from, you know, countries that weren't as represented. And then they had that weird team, that Team North America team that was under 23, which was fun to watch, but... the fact that team was in there kind of like took away from players from both the U.S. and Canada being in there. But no, we get a true best on best tournament. Even I guess it's not really a true best on best tournament without the Russians in there, without the Czechs in there. But whatever, I'll take whatever I can get. You know, I'm excited. If you're unaware of the rules in the format, it's NHL rules, which is, I think, a positive thing, because I think the international rules kind of put a damper on things. And you will see that next winter during the Olympics when the NHL players go over there, which that I'm really excited for, but I know the international rules are going to piss me off. So it's under NHL rules. The only change that they made was during the round robin, it's going to be a 10-minute overtime. I'm not sure what their plan is for the championship game. I don't know if it's going to be 10 minutes and then a shootout. Just I'm assuming. I can't imagine that they just play all night, but we'll see. But yeah, no. So they upped the overtime from 5 minutes to 10 minutes, and then it's a shootout. So in those round robin games, and also they changed the point format, so you get 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for an overtime win, a point for an overtime loss, and no points for a regulation loss, which is sort of a way that I and a lot of people have wanted the point format in the NHL regular season to go anyway. I feel like that those regulation wins should definitely be weighted more than those overtime wins, especially with the advent of 3-on-3. You know, it's less and less the actual game of hockey in that overtime period. So I feel like putting an emphasis on you want a game in regulation is good. So hopefully maybe that this is sort of like some sort of test that in the future they'll enact and change. But no, I love it. I mean, you know, people are always going to have qualms about a mid-season tournament. You know, and it'll be interesting to see how this is played. You know, this is in lieu of an all-star game. And, you know, obviously with an all-star game, players aren't really trying. You know, they're sort of, you know, lax and playing whimsically out there. This is for country, though. So, you know, you wonder, hopefully it's not a sham. Hopefully, you know, these guys actually want to go out there and win, and it's a watchable, entertaining, competitive product. I guess that'll sort of be the question that we get answered tomorrow night during that first game between Canada and Sweden. Is it going to be, is it going to have the same intensity as, you know, an NHL game, or is it going to be, you know, a little more lax because, you know, these players don't want to get hurt. They don't want to miss the playoffs this year. So, you know, I definitely don't think you'll see that much, you know, checking, at least At least, unless, maybe the rivalry games, you might see some checking in that championship in the championship game, but I definitely think that the hits will there won't be as many hits. I would feel pretty confident saying that. Obviously when they play in the Olympics in the past, you're playing on a bigger rink, there isn't as many hits in general. But even in the NHL rink, I just don't think that there's it's not gonna be I would feel pretty confident that it's not gonna be as physical a product. But even then, it could still if it could still match the competitiveness of an NHL regular season game, that's fine. I don't need a playoff intensity, but I'm excited for it. I would say that as an American, you got to look at the roster and you got to be like, this is, a big opportunity for USA Hockey. They've been sort of white hot the past few years. They've won multiple World Junior Championships. They've just won back-to-back World Junior Championships. There seems to be a changing of the guard in international hockey, and the U.S. has sort of been on top of it. And yeah, no, they haven't had the opportunity in a best-on-best tournament to show that. The last time that there really was, like I said, one was back in 2016. That team, that tournament, they sucked in. But that tournament in general just kind of sucked. It happened in September. It was before the NHL season. No one was really watching it. And yeah, it was just weird with the teams and all that stuff. And then the previous time before that was in Sochi in 2014, and they didn't medal. They had lost in the semifinal to Canada, and then I believe they lost to Finland in the bronze medal game. So ever since Auston Matthews, Jack Eichel, Kyle Connor, Charlie McAvoy, Adam Fox, ever since they've had this swan song of talent come through the American ranks, there hasn't really been a tournament for them to play. So now finally we're getting a true best on best tournament, and we'll see how they match up with Canada, Sweden, Finland in this four nations face off tournament. I'd like to rank some of the teams and just in just each of their in each sort of category. For starters, I'll just start with the jerseys. Number one, Canada. Gotta say that. The Canadian jersey is definitely the best out of all of them. I like the design. I like the, the sort of subtle details you don't really see unless that you if you look at it quickly. If you really glance at it, it's got little maple leaves in it. I like that little giant maple leaf that they got in the middle, and it says Canada across it. I really like that Canadian jersey. I like that little creamy white. That it's not just sort of white. It's like a creamyish white. I like the whole thing. I it. Very fallish, the uniform. I really like it. Number two, I really love that Finland uniform. I don't know why. I think that most people wouldn't gravitate towards it because it's white. I love that crest that they have on it. I like that it says, Finland in Finnish. That's a plus for me. If it said Finland across the fucking chest, I think that would have looked freaking stupid. I like that. Yeah, anytime I can get a native language on there, it bumps it up by 10 points. And then, yeah, I like that crest that they got with the, lion in there, which I'm sure is their coat of arms. And yeah, like I said, I like that they went with the white. They could have gone, I mean, the US took the dark blue, so I imagine that that's why they had to go with the white. But I think it's better look. I think if they wore that a dark blue with whatever going on, I don't think I in which I think I've seen them wear before at the international stage, and I don't really like those uniforms. I like that white with the blue on the sleeves. I do like the blue on the sleeves. I think it's a clean look. The third I would have to put Sweden. I like the three crowns. Again, coat of arms sort of emblematic of their past. And those USA jerseys, I just have to put last. I just don't really enjoy them. It's more, it's less that they look like a bad jersey, and more that they have had such great jerseys in the past that I don't understand why they don't just wear them at the Olymp at the NHL level. You know, the ones that they wear for the World Juniors with the USA across the, that would have honestly have been, I would put it, I definitely like that Canada jersey probably better, but that definitely would have been second for me. If they had worn the World Junior jersey, that's basically a play on the Miracle on Ice jersey. If they wore something similar to that, 100% that would be, you know, selling like, you know, hotcakes. But I don't know. They seem to like make the most boring jersey for the U.S. team whenever they get on the world stage at, in these best on best tournaments. And I don't understand why they like that, like dark blue with it just says fucking USA across it in silver letters. And it's fine jersey, but it's not something that's really like memorable or, you know, you really like, oh, I gotta get that one. So yeah, no, I'm not crazy about the US jerseys. I would definitely put them fourth. I mean, I like all the aesthetic of kind of the whole thing in general, but I'm gonna put the USA's jerseys fourth. But let's get into the actual teams now, and I'm gonna start with forwards. So forwards, I definitely have to give the notch to Canada. I mean, you just, how can you not? They're loaded, they're stacked. I mean, from top to bottom. You got Sam Reinhart, Connor McDavid, and Mitch Marner. That's their first line, which, you know, Mitch is definitely interesting choice there up at the top line. You got Sidney Crosby on the wing with Nathan MacKinnon and Mark Stone. Brad Marchand, Braden Point, and Seth Jarvis is the third line. Jarvis and Marchand should be fun together. And then their fourth line is Braden Hagel, Anthony Cirelli, and Travis Konecny. But I think Konecny and Sam Bennett have been going back and forth, which, you know, I got to criticize them a little bit. I would love to see Brad Marchand and Sam Bennett on the same line just to watch the world burn, but I guess those cowards don't want to do it. So yeah, you can't not look at that forward group and say that that's got to be the best in the tournament. I mean, anytime that you have McDavid, Crosby, MacKinnon in your top six, that's going to do it. And definitely do not take a penalty against this team because their first power play is Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, Sam Reinhart, Cale Makar, and Connor McDavid. So, you know, good luck with that if you take a penalty against them. The second team that I would have forward wise would have to be the US. Again, I think that this is something that the US has kind of lacked in previous iterations of any best on best tournament has always been their forwards. They've never really had like a lot of scorers at any given point in time. But this time around, finally, you know, like I said, they get a best on best tournament with this sort of new wave of talent that they've had over the past decade. So, you know, you got Jack Eichel, you got Kyle Connor, who's they're both having career years. You got Austin Matthews, you got Jack Hughes, Matthew Tkachuk, Jake Gensel, Matt Boldy, JT Miller, Brady Tkachuk, Brock Nelson, who probably really shouldn't be in this on this team. He had a really good year last year, not as great a year this year. And he looks like the oldest 33-year-old person I've ever seen, as I saw a picture of him today. He's on that fourth line with Vinny Trocheck, Dylan Larkin. The fact that Dylan Larkin is on your fourth line, that's good news for the US. I definitely would have probably picked Cole Caulfield over Brock Nelson, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like all these teams were sort of leaning into if there was a veteran that sort of kind of, you know, hadn't really had a chance to play in one of these tournaments, they seemed to lean towards him as long as they were still producing. So I would say second would probably be the US for as far as forwards go. Now, third, I'm gonna be a bear here, and I'm gonna be a grizzly here, and I'm actually gonna put Finland above them. Above Sweden at number three. I just like, you know, I have, first off, I have a thing for Sasha Barkov. I think that he's an awesome player to watch. He doesn't put up maybe as many points as some other players around the league do, but as when it comes to being as well-rounded a player and as gifted a player, Sasha Barkov is hard to come by. They got Arturi Lehkonen, they got Mikko Rantanen, but obviously not teammates anymore in Colorado, but have a lot of chemistry. Roope Hintz and Sebastian Aho, two talented players there, talented young players there. And they got decent depth. Teuvo Teravainen's down there, Mikael Granlund. Mikael Granlund is down there on the fourth line. I don't mind their. I'm gonna have to give them something because I'm not gonna say very nice things about the rest of the rest of the team. But so I'm gonna go with Finland as my third forward group, and then Sweden. I'm gonna put fourth, even though I mean, yeah, sure, they got the names, but it just feels like everybody on Sweden is kind of having a down year outside of like three players. Philip Forsberg's having a good year. He plays on a fucking terrible team, but he himself is leading that team in points. Willie Nylander, he's second in the league in goals, so kind of can't really blame him. And then Lucas Raymond, who's which they got those three separated on in three different lines. Jesper Brad as well, he's having a decent year. But a lot of guys here, Elias Pettersson obviously having that whole ordeal on the Canucks. Mika Zibanejad not having a good year. Elias Lindholm really not having a good year on the Bruins. So Joel Eriksson-Ek not really having a great year either. If my memory serves me correctly, let me just double check and make sure that I'm not talking out of my ass on Joel Eriksson-Ek. But I feel like he was better last year than he has been this year. Let's see. Yeah, he's only got 23 points in 41 games. Last year he put up 64. So definitely, yeah, he's not anywhere near his pace last year. So he's having a down year. It feels like, yeah, a lot of players on the Swedish roster are, on, at least up front, are having down years. So yeah, I'm just gonna put Finland above them because I feel like the Finnish players are playing more above water in terms of forwards go. On defense, this is where the U.S. is gonna shine. So the United States, I gotta put at number one. And they lost their best defenseman, which is fucking crazy. And I would still put them at number one. But they got Jakob Slavin and Adam Fox up on that top pair, which is two bona fide studs there. Zach Werenski and Charlie McAvoy on the second pair, which Charlie McAvoy is not having a good year. Hasn't really had a good year and hasn't really played well in a while, but I do love that pair with him and Werenski, and I do like that pair. Werenski has been the second best, probably second third best defenseman in the league this year. He's having a really good year with that Columbus Blue Jackets team, which is really surprising people. And then you got Noah Hanifin and Brock Faber at the bottom of that defensive pairing, which is, like I said, these are all kind of big guys, good offensive players. Definitely would put the United States at number one. That's sort of their bread and butter. Second, I kind of want to go. I really kind of want to go with the Swedes on this one. They got Hedman, who's obviously been a cup-winning defenseman, two times over. Won back-to-back cups. Jonas Brodin, very good player. Mattias Ekholm went to the cup final last year, was sort of kind of like the big piece for Edmonton. Erik Karlsson, obviously kind of a little long in the tooth now, but still a threat on any power play. Gustav Forsling, he's been great on the Florida Panthers. Definitely was big for them last year in their cup run. And Rasmus Dahlin, who former number one overall pick, plays on a crap team. But what can you say? Again, he's also a very good player. So I think that especially like top to bottom, Sweden's defense is pretty good. Then I would go Canada. Canada, Devin Taves, Cale Makar, obviously a lot of pair, lot of chemistry there. They pretty much they play together in Colorado. Josh Morrissey and Colton Parayko, Shea Theodore and Drew Doughty. Again, not sort of it's not that far of a fall off between Canada. I mean, Canada and Sweden, I would say definitely could go t 2-3, whichever way you want to go. I like Sweden's depth a little bit more than Canada's, especially maybe down there on that third pair. That definitely leaves a little bit to be desired, but still, I would say Canada and Sweden are pretty close. But where Finland really lags behind is this defense. Nico Mikkola is their best defenseman here on this team. That's not gonna cut. I think they've lost a couple players too on defense, if I'm not mistaken. But Yerho Vakanainen is on their defense, is on their third pair, and I mean, yeah, that pretty much sums up the whole situation. So Finland, I would definitely put in last in that situation. And then in goal, in net, you got to go with the Americans again. They have Connor Hellebuck, who was the Vezina Trophy winner last year, and he's having another great year this year. Jake Ottinger, who's again, another one of the premier goaltenders in the NHL when he's right. Jeremy Swayman not having a great year, but he has gone through his ebbs and flows. He's a little bit better than he was at the start of the year. More than capable, especially. I mean, he's performed well in big games. So, even though the sample size is small, he has definitely produced in big games. So if he finds himself in these in a big moment here, he should be able to be trustworthy. After that, definitely got to go with the Swedes. They got Filip Gustavsson and Linus Olmark in net. Both guys having a very good year. And Olmark, former Vezina Trophy winner when he was with the Boston Bruins. So really like their status in that. It could be either one for them. And then, Finland's got Jussi Saros and, Kevin Lankinen, who's been a pretty decent backup for the Canucks. It's really close between them and Canada. I mean, Canada's goaltending situation is not great. Not great at all. They got Jordan Binnington playing in that, and it's kind of bizarre because Canada's obviously loaded everywhere else. But goaltending has just seemed to be, I mean, the fact that they were looking at what was his face in Seattle because he spent some time in Canada. They were trying to steal him. And yeah, that was a whole ordeal. But yeah, Jordan Binnington not having a great year, and he's their starter. I'm going to go with Finland over Canada in that situation. I'm going to give the Canadians the fourth spot there. But yeah. So that's my blind ranking, I guess, of all three phases of each game and of each team. All the pressure is going to be on the Americans and the Canadians to get it done. The fact that it's being held in Montreal for the first four games and in Boston for the last three, definitely, which is kind of why I haven't really seen much chatter about Sweden, in this tournament, but I almost kind of like want to pick them just because they're not playing with really any of the pressure, and they do have quite a bit of talent. And they are kind of like deep when you really think about it, but like I said, they have a lot of guys on their team that have not had great years, so you got to consider that. But Ultimately, I'm going to pick the Americans. I just feel like a bias, obviously, but I just feel like this is a moment for them to really grab a hold of the international scene. Again, it kind of sucks that the Russians aren't, allowed to play, and the Czech Republic's not involved, and this, that, the other. But this is a really big chance for the U.S. to make a statement. And a lot of the players, they sound like they're really jazzed up. Matthew Tkachuk was talking today. He's like, treating this like it's a game seven over and over again. I think that there's a lot of players on the U.S. team that really want to make statements. So I'm going to go with the U.S. They got the best goaltending. They got the best defense. And that's definitely enough to win, four games, or three out of four games here. And at least keep you competitive. And they also have a really good forward group. I think that they're just the best team all around. They don't really have any glaring weaknesses. Maybe, like I said, that fourth line with Brock Nelson there, who's, again, probably shouldn't be on the team, but I guess, they put him on there because he's a gritty veteran, I guess. So, sort of, I guess I get it. I probably would have went with some more speed with Caulfield or even Tage Thompson if you wanted some grit. But yeah, no, I'm going to go with the Americans. I think that this is sort of their time to shine. They have had this influx of talent over the past decade, and I think that it's going to show in this tournament. Obviously, hard to pick against the Canadians, especially when you're the top six includes Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon. But the vibes with Hockey Canada in general just aren't great. Now, obviously, a lot of the vets are going to be motivated to get that stain that the World Junior team had. The World Junior team has gotten knocked off in the quarterfinals each of the last 2 years for Canada. So the pressure is really a lot on the Canadians. I'm sure, though, if they win, it'll be the greatest thing in the world. And if they lose, it'll just be some fake made-up tournament. But no, I definitely think that there's going to be a lot of pressure up there for them, for that Canadian team to win. If they don't make it to the championship game, I'm sure they're going to get, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people getting, losing their jobs up there, up in Canada. Because they really haven't had a good international showing in a little while now, and if they get embarrassed on the best on best stage, that's definitely not going to be a great look for them. But yeah, no, I'm going to pick the Americans, and yeah, it should be a fun tournament. I'm really looking forward to it. I really am glad that we've got best on best hockey again in the international scene, and I'm looking forward to the Olympics next year. So take care, guys.